coming. Are you ready to do it?
If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you will know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans, but I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all those who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 14:15-27.
Holy Spirit 2, the reckoning we're doing today. So we started this series on the Holy Spirit because we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and we thought, that's nice. We get to do this. We need to do this so that we have the fruit of the Spirit, and we learn to give that, share that fruit of the Spirit with other people. But I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit's role, and partially because I don't think we teach about the Holy Spirit enough in church. I think there's a lot of confusion around the Holy Spirit. So I made it my mission to study very carefully about the Holy Spirit and teach you what I'm learning, and so hopefully this is good to you. Our passages today, I decided that we would be very helpful, probably the most concentrated teaching on the Holy Spirit is in John, what's called the Upper Room Discourse, which starts in chapter 14. Actually, the service part starts in chapter 13, runs through chapter 16, and so he talks very much about the Holy Spirit. And that's what Sandy read for us today, so that's pretty helpful. I want to tell you about how the Holy Spirit works in people today. What the Holy Spirit actually does. Remember last week, we discovered from the Bible that the Holy Spirit is not just a force. It's not just, the more midichlorians you have, the more Holy Spirit you have. It's the Holy Spirit is a person. And so there's not a privileged class of Holy Spirit Jedi who get to wield the Holy Spirit more than everyone else. The other part is, so the Holy Spirit is a person, but the Holy Spirit is also clearly God, equal with God. Now that is definitely a mind blower for me, that a person can be one person, but three persons at the same time. There can be one God manifested in three persons. And the one thing we want to do is make sure we don't slip down into heresy by trying to make it make more sense and more digestible to us, more understandable. We want to understand, no matter what, that the Holy Spirit is equal and part of God. And the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. But today we're going to talk about, if I turn this on, it'll be louder. Can I get this thing to turn on? Let's just hope so. And I think I even have to turn something else on over here to make it work. That's how organized we are. Excuse me.
Yeah, let's get by here.
And I believe that at some point this will eventually work and we'll be good. And then you'll hear me and yeah? Something? Okay, cool. All right, is that better? I just want to acknowledge Hey today. It was a gift from an anonymous donor, whose name is Annette. So the Holy Spirit acts differently with unbelievers and believers. And I want to tell you very shortly, and I'm going to keep this whole thing short because we have a busy day and we have some questions that we want to get to. But the Holy Spirit, you know, in the passages that I have, he has basically one role in unbelievers, and that is conviction. Convicts them. The Holy Spirit convicts believers of their need for God. If you don't know God, the Holy Spirit isn't going to guide you and be a force that makes your life better. You can pray all you want, but what the Holy Spirit's going to do is bring conviction into your life. And that's a really valuable thing, because nobody's going to come to God unless they recognize they need Him. You ever notice that? You can try all day long to talk logic about God to somebody who doesn't know God, and it's like hitting your head against a brick wall. But then when the Holy Spirit brings that conviction, it's like all of a sudden they're open. But there's a thing called prevenient grace, and it's that idea that it's actually God's grace. God actually giving people a blessing, a merit, by showing them their guilt. Wow. So, you know, you've seen this bumper sticker, screw guilt?
Yeah,
that's not a good idea. Now, I get the idea if you've gone through something and you have shame, you don't want to carry that around. Because you've got to realize that's a debilitating thing. But guilt can be a very motivating factor.
That's right.
Towards repentance, which is key to coming to the Lord. We all know this. You know, if you have a relationship with somebody, you know, a friend or a wife, and you do something bad, you don't want to just gloss it over. You got to go to them and say, hey, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Then that relationship is restored, right? Okay. So you gotta realize you ain't right. You ain't right with God. You'll never be right until you realize you're not. So I'm gonna just leave that alone. But for the believers, for anyone who's placed their faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is an advocate. I want to talk about this really cool word that occurs in the New Testament for advocate. In fact, in the scripture, if somebody puts it up there, they'll give you another, the Holy Spirit, really, okay, man, I don't know if it's in here.
Line
second
two.
Verse, yeah, I'm looking for the word advocate. I'll give you another advocate, yeah, that's correct, thank you, I cannot see anymore. Advocate, that word is paraclete. You probably aren't familiar with the name paraclete, but it's actually a legal term, and it's translated many different ways. It means, it's translated helper, advocate, counselor. All of those things are interesting ways of describing the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does is he comes into our life, dwells in us, and gives us an ability to see things differently. What paraclete really literally means is called alongside. Someone who is called alongside. The Holy Spirit is called alongside. Isn't that just great? Isn't that a great picture? Like you're struggling, and then there's somebody there to help you out. I remember, almost 30 years ago when I was at Bible college, and I was just having a really rough time. I had a really good friend who used to go out to get mochas with me. His name was Rex Elwell. And I was just, college was hard on me, probably because I was so crazy competitive that I had to get it right. I was not satisfied with just getting a good answer or even an A. I had to get the best A in the class. Part of it was the mistake of the teachers. I'm going to go ahead and say this. That one particular teacher would give me a gift certificate to the coffee shop if I got the best grade on the test. And I wanted that. And I got that. But that was not really good for my spirit. But Rex was there, and we would go, to this little, it was Nordstrom, I think. It was the Nordstrom coffee shop, and just entertain ourselves and laugh until mochas were coming out of our nose. It was great. And so Rex was kind of an advocate, and a paraclete. He'd say, you're going to be all right. And he'd just laugh at it and be concerned and helpful. And that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. I want you to understand this. The Holy Spirit's foundational role is this. And this is, I get this from Scripture too. It's to bring glory to Jesus. Verse 13, which I do not have up there, is John 14:13 says that, that the Holy Spirit is there to bring glory to God. He glorifies God. So what that means is he's not interested in glorifying you. Understand that. The Holy Spirit isn't here to make you look cool. Or to make you, even to make you, not particularly, not directly, to make you feel better. He's there to glorify Jesus. He's there to make Jesus bigger. The word glorify is an interesting word, and sometimes I think we get caught up on words like that, especially Christian words, and we tune out glorify. Okay, be glorified, God. What does that mean? Well, the Old Testament idea of glorified has the idea of adding weight to something. It makes it weighty. And the New Testament word kind of has the connotation of making it brighter, brightening up something. It's interesting that there's a verse in Scripture that actually puts together both of those concepts. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." So, the Holy Spirit in us helps us understand the importance of God, the importance and who He is in a deeper way. It makes God more bright to us, more heavy to us. We get that depth, that meaning of God. So one of His roles is He reveals the truth about Jesus, John 14:26. In this whole passage, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send this comforter, this paraclete, this helper, this counselor to be with you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. It's going to look bad for a while because even though you don't understand it, I'm going to the cross. They're going to mistreat me. In fact, they're going to kill me. I am going to rise from the dead on the third day. But then after that, I'm going to ascend to heaven. You're going to go, what? What happened? I thought He was going to overthrow the Romans. I thought He was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Where's Jesus? He says, don't sweat it. There's actually something better coming. There's a reason I'm going away. It's because I don't want to just have us glom around with ourselves anymore. I'm going to send you out. And you need the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who walks alongside you to do that. So He reveals the truth about Jesus. You know, occasionally I have these dreams, and then I drop these, and I knock these over. All right, hopefully this is... Yep, nope, I got problems. All right, is that up? Is it still on? Okay. So occasionally I have these dreams where in my dream, I compose music. And I compose the most awesome music you've ever heard. Everything is together. I hear all the parts. You know, it's sometimes, I used to do this when I was a kid. I have dreams and I compose an entire classical piece. And I hear all the parts in my mind. And I'm in a kind of a half-wake state, maybe in a, what's it called, alpha state? I don't know what they call it, REM sleep.
Fugue state.
A fudge state?
Yes.
Yeah, a fugue state. I thought a fugue state, well, anyway. And I would compose these songs, and I frequently do that, and I have this weird attitude toward it, right? So when I compose this song, I'm in the middle of my dream or half awake state, and I go, I should probably wake up and write some of this down. But then I go, nah, I'll remember it. And guess what? I never remember it. I might remember a line, and then I'll sit down on the piano and play this line, and go, that isn't so cool by itself, and I'll just abandon it. So I never do that because I have complete confidence that I will remember it afterwards. And I don't. Here we are. Now that I lost all this stuff. Yeah. I console myself with the idea that it maybe wasn't that great after all. I don't know if that's real any consolation. My semi-conscious mind maybe just overinflated the importance of this, which is a strong possibility. But I wish I could have those dreams back. I wish I could record those. And, you know, I don't know that it would change the world. But the Holy Spirit's role in the apostles was to remind them of everything that they had heard and seen when they were with Jesus. And this is important because later on the apostles did a couple of things. They went out teaching all around the world, and also they wrote the scripture, Peter and John. Yeah. Matthew. And then other people that were with them. And so they remembered exactly what God wanted them to remember, to write down and to teach others. So that Holy Spirit gave them the power. So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of God's teaching and what God wants. And he'll do that. And he did that in a particular way with the apostles. Also, the Holy Spirit revealed future events to some of these apostles. Remember we just went through the book of Revelation and how John was revealed to John what the future was going to hold. Now, I want to put a word of caution here. I put revealed because that was clearly true for the disciples and apostles. But I don't know if it's that common now. We do have the canon of Scripture. We know what God's plan is, what his plan for the future is. And it's definitely possible that the Holy Spirit can give someone a prophecy slash prediction. But I would be quite concerned about who it actually glorifies. I think it's possible for some people just to want to be the one who is glorified by being able... I haven't seen that work out super well often with people predicting the future. And then the third way that the Holy Spirit ministers to us is he comforts us in troubled times. It's in the very name. Paraclete, comforter, counselor, helper, advocate. He comforts us in troubled times. I want to ask how. How does the Holy Spirit comfort us? And how do you get in touch with that? Because we are actually in troubled times. In the last year and a half, I feel like these have been very troubled times. Let me give you an example of how the Holy Spirit comforts us. I think he does it by giving us perspective. Isn't it funny how when things are difficult, we lose our perspective? We don't have any perspective. And you've got to realize that God's perspective is a little bit superior to mine. A little bit superior to yours. A lot superior. God has a perspective that we want. We want to be able to see and be aware that God is in control. Let me give you a little story about perspective. So when Beth and I worked in youth ministry, we did a number of junior high retreats. Yes, we are masochists and saints. Yes. We were hunting for trouble. So we would have these junior high retreats. And I remember at one in particular, this young girl named Tiki in Vancouver would, we did this huge overnighter retreat. It was crazy. And she met a boy that she was totally interested in. And it was true love, because at 13, you know, that's true love, right? You know, you understand love at that age. And Tiki fell in love with a boy, and they decided that they were going steady that night. And, but the sad part is, about 4 hours later, they broke up. And poor Tiki was absolutely devastated, and she was in a corner crying behind the couch. And, I remember Beth going up to her, and I went up to her, and trying so hard to give her a little perspective. Like, you know, there's just an off chance, Tiki, that this might not be your last chance at love. Just an off chance. But you were trying not to be snarky, you know, and sarcastic, because it really does hurt when you're 13. You really do feel it. It feels like the end of the world. The fact is, it ain't the end of the world. So if you're 13 and you're in love, you know, things might change. If you're 13 and you feel like life is not as good as it will be, it should be, it will change. And so what I tried to give Tiki gently was perspective. Yes, this hurts. There's a lot more going on in life. There's a lot more that's going to happen. And you'll be all right. It's going to take some time. You will get over this. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us perspective in the same way. I think that's the thing we really need during this time of crisis, is perspective. And it's hard to get perspective right now, isn't it? Because everybody's perspective is the right one. You know who's got the only right perspective? Yeah, Mel. That is correct. It is Mel. So just talk.
God.
God. Oh, okay. I thought you were giving you a hard time. I know what you're doing. Yeah, God has... And so we've got to seek him for perspective. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to give us perspective. One of the things, this pandemic and the whole crisis surrounding it and everything going on has not been easy on me either, okay? I have not just cruised through it. If you know me, you know this. I lose my cool. I get really frustrated and I can get angry. Would you like me to demonstrate? That's a no. Okay. I really do get frustrated and angry, and I'm off script. And during those times, it's really easy to lose perspective. And so what I would do is I would go out on a walk at night, and I'd say, I do not understand this. I don't even know how to act. I don't know how to take this in. I don't know how to process this, and I'm angry. God, give me your perspective, please. And there were times that I survived this so far, because I believe that God did give me his perspective in the sense that I have this. I have a plan. I know everything that's going on, and I'm actually in control as much as it doesn't seem like it. I'm in control. Troubles that seem overwhelming are not any trouble at all to God. I want to close here, and I've got to skip some stuff, but that's okay. You know, the reason that God gives us his Holy Spirit is not just simply so we can feel better ourselves. Not just simply to comfort us. God has more in mind than just me. I am not a dead end. And there's more in the world going on than me. One of the things that has helped me to deal with my own mortality is to realize that life does not end when Dan ends. God's plan does not end when Dan ends. That God can take me out. I can get hit by a bus again.
No.
I'm not gonna, but I can. And God's plan continues. And we can partake in that Holy Spirit who has a bigger picture than just you, than just your own heart, your own worries, your own concern. It's amazing how God can do that with his ability to see the whole world and see everything that's going on. Yes, he's worried about you. He's concerned. He cares for you. But he also cares for the entire world and everything, and it all works together. God has the big picture, and we miss the big picture, and we miss the reason, often miss the reason that God gives this opportunity to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to show us how to love others, how to be part of God's big plan. So like at Disneyland, you know, you want to have Mickey's magic. It's not about you and your own concerns and your own worries. It's about spreading that joy. And when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, it's the same thing. God didn't give us the fruit of the Spirit so we can just have peace and, hey, the heck with you. Beth and I were in Grants Pass this earlier this week for several days, and we met with a friend of ours who is moving to northern Montana because she's absolutely convinced that this crisis is going to get out of control and people are going to be, it's the end of time as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. It's a song. A stupid song. Anyway, she's moving to northern Montana and they're gathering all the food they can, survival food, and they're cutting off, they're going to hunt and gather and survive up there. Now the sad part is, they left their home, they absolutely left all their employees and their business and their family behind. And somehow I'm thinking, that's not what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do. It's like, it's all about me and taking care of myself and my own survival. If you think that's the Holy Spirit, you're wrong. So let the Holy Spirit guide you into teaching how to love others. Lord, by your Holy Spirit in us, help us to have your perspective to see beyond ourselves. Grant, you have some questions?
Yeah.